Mella.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to
the Intersectional Yoginis Podcast.
Join us as we explore a variety of topics that impact us as women of color through a yogic lens.
Hope you don't mind irreverence and me cursing like a sailor.
Sprinkled in with a little satire and sass.
A little?
Well, we cover serious subjects that are important to us.
So if you're curious, keep listening.
Namaste.
Hello.
We're so giddy. All the time. Just getting together.
Just having
us
fun.
In this mood. Yes. How are you guys?
Hello, hello.
Aloha.
Ooh. Feeling tropical on this semi-cloudy day.
I wish you could see Hannah's hair today. Because she is rocking a wavy 80s
You know how you do it, how you braid the hair at night. You wash your hair and then you braid your hair at night while it's still wet. And then you wait the whole next day. Mm-hmm. And then you unbraid.
And it's a kind of like a humid day, so it's more like voluminous. Well, I love it. We're twinning.
Twinning, and Mella's got the tie-dye. What's up? Yogi life.
The yogi life, indeed. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today, Hannah?
So today, well, I just thought it would be kind of fun to dive into a little bit about this experience we had at the farmer's market, because it was so cool, and just kind of really diving into generally practices of integrating with the fall, as fall has come, and what are we kind of doing to prepare?
Because what is fall? Like, spiritually, what does it represent?
Well, a lot of times the fall is starting to come into this process of slowing down and bringing in a more internal aspect into looking into ourselves, and also starting to dive into or even recognizing maybe signs of grief that we're having or things that we are losing, even if we're like connecting to nature.
Well, yeah. So last episode, we were actually talking about how even like the changes of seasons can have a grief process because it's a change. So you're letting go of something and you're welcoming something else. So it's a transition. And also the summer could be, I mean, if you go to school or if you have like certain attachments to the summer from your childhood or whatever, it's like you associate it with like this fun time when you're always
summer
outside
break.
And it's a break. Yeah, it's like summer break and you want to be more social maybe, or you want to do things outdoors, or it's also like fire. Like if we assign an element, it would be like fire and you're like, ooh. And then you start, the fall would be the wind and slowing down, and also the trees start changing, they shed. So you can also shed what no longer serves you. And in that process, there's also a grief process. Even if something doesn't serve you, you sometimes can mourn it. Like you feel empty.
Yeah, like a losing it. Or just like, I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but just the idea of making a decision. Sometimes there's even just a small grief in deciding, no, I'm going to go this way.
Oh yeah, you said that.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like there's a fork in a road and it's like, okay, do I go left or do I go right? And you want to explore both, right? But if you make a decision to go right,
you're letting go.
You're letting go of left or however that is symbolic for you. Yeah. And so with that too, it's cool because you get to see within nature, reflected in nature, these ideas of grief and this cycle, while also looking at the aspect of beauty that the change has within it, right? Because, I mean, like, in Colorado, you go, like, tree leaf gazing, and it's this huge event, like, throughout the fall where especially, like, all of the aspen leaves up in the mountains, they turn, like, this bright, vibrant gold color, and you just see the entire hillsides all of a sudden from green all summer, they all of a sudden just turn, like, bright, vibrant, like, gold. And it's amazing just the contrast. And you see like then the browns and the oranges and the reds and like all of these different colors. But ultimately, you know, like these trees are changing colors because the leaves are dying. And the trunk is cutting off the life source to those so that it can shed and go in, go internal. And, you know, you see all the little critters like collecting their nuts and seeds. And everything that they need, or like bears gathering all their food, preparing to hibernate for the winter. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see because it's like a reflection of how the grieving process can be within us, mm-hmm. and also bringing through the value of this change and the beauty in the change and getting to see kind of different sides of that.
Yeah. I'm actually been noticing the trees, which I haven't before. I think ever since you mentioned that, when I was like, okay, so what can we do? Like, what's the spiritual guide for fall?
Yeah.
And then you said that about like tree gazing, and I'm starting to notice like how now there are some trees on the streets that are turning mm-hmm. a few, like you can see like some of them have already yellow leaves or mm-hmm. red leaves. And I started mm-hmm. to notice in Santa Monica, I go there to teach twice a week in Venice. And especially in Santa Monica, there's a lot of liquid amber trees. Mm. And those change from green to red and they shed. Mm-hmm. So you can see. And I even like took pictures because there was like with a little bit of yellow. So I'm noticing that. And also here in Burbank that we have trees that kind of like touch each other from one side of the street to another. Mm, they're like mm-hmm. big trees.
Overhanging.
You can start noticing how they start changing. Even though we don't have the type of weather like New York or like Colorado when it's like summer is summer and then spring is spring and like you can see all the seasons.
Yeah.
There is a change still.
Like, and also, you can notice it.
Even if the change is subtle, you acclimate to that. And those are your seasons. That subtle change becomes your season change wherever you are. Except on Hawaii, which tells you, so I don't know what it's that in Fahrenheit. But maybe it's 70? Always perfect weather.
Yeah, but I bet they do, too, have seasonal changes, you know, within their plant life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even with the, like, going to the farmer's market, right? You're going to have different vegetables and fruits because of the season.
But that's so interesting that how you explain, like, scientifically, trees do that. Like, they go inwards. Like, they start bringing their juices.
Yeah, their life force.
Their life force, you know? To the inside because they cannot afford to have leaves, basically. So it's like, okay, you guys.
Okay, love you, but
forgive me, love you, but I'm going inwards. And then it's a cycle and it ends. That's a very reflective of what we fall or like what we should be doing. I mean, we should always be going inwards, but
but now's like a great time.
Special time.
Yeah. Because everything around us is also doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's cool to think about too, like even if you notice within yourself, like, oh, I'm a little more introverted lately, or oh, like I just don't feel like I have the energy to do like my high intensity workout today or whatever the case. It's like, listen to those signs and signals from your body because they are saying to you like, hey,
slow down, bitch.
Yeah. Like, like you don't always have to be doing all the things all the time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like you can give yourself a break. You can allow yourself to like settle into kind of this inward cycle and add in some rest.
Yeah, we usually don't because we start like, oh, I already started. I had all this energy and I want to keep this going at the same pace. So there's this disconnection to like, but wait, what is your body telling you? Because actually we're supposed to even like gain weight during the fall and winter to protect ourselves from the cold. But people get so like paranoid about it. There's such a stigma with like weight gain that people just immediately link it to like, that's unhealthy.
Right.
When in reality, that's not true. Like, actually, you can gain weight as part of being better or your mental health being better or you, like, recovering from, I don't know, like, for example, cancer. You lost a bunch of weight with it and now you're gaining weight and now you're, like, getting better. But people associate the opposite because they're fat phobia.
Well, yeah. And, like, that's so interesting you bring that up because actually a friend of mine posted on her Instagram this photo of her just in like bra and pants, I think it was, whatever. It was showing her stomach. And, you know, in her caption, she was explaining like how if you just are scrolling through and looking through this photo, you might just think like, oh, I'm just showing my stomach off, whatever, like I'm skinny. And but she goes into like her description of her postpartum depression and about how she is you know, skinny this way because she hasn't had time to work out. She hasn't had time to like feed herself because she's been focusing on her baby and running around and like trying to do things for her baby first, and how she's been neglecting herself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was such a provoking kind of post that I really thought about, because I was like, yeah, like it's so interesting how you see something and you, because of our programming from society, you think, oh, that's healthy.
Exactly.
And it's like, did you even ask that person if they feel healthy? Do you even know what that person is going through? And what determines health for you? Because the thing is we see someone and what their body looks like and we say, oh, that is mm-hmm. health. Mm-hmm. When in actuality,
we don't have, look at we how have many no idea.
People who have COVID
mm-hmm.
of all shapes, of all sizes, mm-hmm. of all ethnicities. Like,
you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening inside. Mm-hmm. And also mentally, because you could be, let's say yeah. you're great physically, but mentally you're yeah. not great and you're secreting cortisol.
Yeah.
And you're stressed. And super that stressed. Can make you not only sick, but like not be able to get pregnant, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
if everything, like physically everything else seems to be okay.
Yeah.
That can, that cycle of like, I want. Mm-hmm. That stress, that yearning, pressure. That,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I've read so many comments about like a whole thread. I think someone compiled a whole thread about getting all these compliments and they were yes. actually sick.
Yes.
Like I was dying.
Yeah.
I was sick. I had just been diagnosed with this and that.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, but at least you're skinny. Like that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
When actually the weight loss was a reflection of their disease mm-hmm. and of their like not being healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also the opposite. It's like no one cares about health unless you're fat.
Mm-hmm.
No one cares about what you eat unless you're fat.
Mm-hmm.
Or vegan, because then everyone's concerned about, like, where are you getting your protein?
Yeah, where are you getting like, protein from?
Yo, what? Where are you getting your fucking fiber?
Oi. Why don't you just mind your own body?
Yeah. Like, yeah, what? So the point is, just be mindful of those programming, like, all of that programming that society has. And go back to listening to your body, what you really need and want and crave. Sometimes it cater. You also have that experience. Oh, I'm craving this and this and this.
Yeah, like lemons. Like I know when I am very acidic and need to alkaline, like my body will like crave lemon. And I'm like, I need lemon. And then I'm like, wait, I'm probably really acidic right now. I need something to alkaline me. But yeah, like certain foods, you know, your body's just, or with me finding out like I have low blood sugar, you know.
Like you're eating sugar.
Yeah, it's like I crave sugar. I've been craving sugar my whole life, it feels. You know what I mean? But it's just like random times I'd be like, I need dessert like now. Like I can't even, like I need something sweet now. And I always just thought, like I always had this internal conflict because mm-hmm. everything on the outside is saying like, don't eat sugar. Don't eat desserts all the time. Like you should be healthy. You should be fit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And yet my body was speaking to me and telling me like, hey, you have low blood sugar right now.
Yeah.
So it's like bringing in that mindful aspect of your body, what you're eating, and also recognizing like whatever's working for me is probably not going to work for someone else.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's even too with if we're talking about Ayurveda and mm-hmm. like talking about the doshas and how fall is that vata season, very air, very wind, even though we're all in that season together. If I'm more of a kapha, vata, dosha, and say you're more pitta, like the things for us to come into balance are going to be different.
We call it kapha in Spanish. But really? I know that it's a pH, so in English, you guys pronounce it kapha.
I guess we'd probably
how
have
do they
to.
Do it in India? I think
yeah,
kapha.
Really?
Yeah. Kapha? I don't even know.
I would have
but
to.
But we say kapha because it's like kapha. A P.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably have to ask someone from India.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because all my teachers have been from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually know that answer.
Look it up. It's just, I just got curious. I'm like, oh yeah, kapha, because it's pH.
Yeah.
But I've only studied Ayurveda in Spanish.
Oh, sure.
So my teacher says kapha.
Yeah. And because you guys are speaking in Spanish.
Uh-huh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everyone's, okay.
Yeah, everyone's speaking Spanish.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I can't remember in India, it was in English, but I can't remember how they say
they pronounced it.
Yeah, because Ayurveda was like a thing, only like a they mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't like study.
And yeah, and like another thing, like besides going inwards and paying attention to what your body's telling you and what it's craving and everything, even go beyond and start thinking about where is your food coming from? Like, where's everything mm-hmm. coming from beyond mm-hmm. where you put in your mouth? Like, before, where was it? And how was the process of it getting to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who cultivated it?
And
who was harmed in the process?
Mm-hmm.
Or where is it coming from geographically? Like, how mm-hmm. long did it
yeah,
take?
Yeah, like, how did it take
or
to
how
get,
many
yeah,
resources?
Was it frozen? Was it fresh? Like,
mm-hmm.
a cool truck?
Which is why we like going to farmers markets.
Yeah.
And we went to one last week. During the weekend.
Yeah, on the weekend. Yeah,
yeah.
Last weekend. Yeah, and it was cool because you actually get to meet, I don't know if they, like some of them, I don't know if they're the exact farmers, but they're maybe the siblings or the
yeah,
daughters.
Yeah, like they're part
or,
of
like
the
family. I'm the sure they're close to home.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the farm. But yeah, it's cool to see, like, you look at this plethora of fruits and vegetables and it's like, nothing is perfectly round.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Nothing
like
is...
Like boobs.
Yeah, right?
Like nothing's perfectly round in nature, but we
yeah.
are...
But it's like in like the grocery store, everything is like shifted and tilted perfectly. And it's like if one thing has one little dent, people are like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gets tossed to the side and
like
probably
same
trashed
size,
or something.
Same shape, same little characteristics when it like nothing is like...
Yeah, no.
And same with the bodies. It's like we have this idea that, oh, your body needs to look... And I hear so many times, I want to slap my friends, especially girlfriends, when they say like, oh, she had like this perfect body. I'm like, what do you mean by that? What the fuck is that? What's
mm-hmm.
perfect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whose standard? Where'd you get that from? Whose
yeah.
voice is that? Yeah. Because it's like perfect, like the perfect. Models in the magazines that they Photoshop and edit or like what?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or also
yeah,
every decade,
standard?
The conception of like perfect body is different.
Yeah. So you never win.
You can never win.
Because when you're growing up, you're looking at this one way, trying to be like, when I grow up, I'm going to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get there, it's something different. And then you're like, well, I haven't even been working on that. So how can I, you know?
I'm 5'2". What can I do?
Plastic surgery, you know, or like reconstructive surgeries
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very interesting. But yeah, we transmute that, like, or not transmute. We translate that over to like the food we eat.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
That we think it needs to look a certain way, like shiny and round and no dents and all the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the farmer's market, it seems like a silly little thing, but it's like a whole experience. Like you actually
it's
get
so
excited.
Cool.
It's like going to Disney.
Well, it's like...
We were like,
yeah,
Hannah,
what's
look.
This?
Yeah,
what's this?
Exactly.
Because like half of the things... You don't even see in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the Chinese dates or
yeah.
the jujubes.
Jujubes.
And I'm like, what is a jujube? Like,
what
I have never
jujube?
Even known this other than, like, the candy.
Mm-hmm. The drag queen, I know.
Oh, there we go.
That's the only jujube I know.
Yeah, so it's like,
shout out.
You get to just look at all these things. Or even, I got some bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in the store, I only see green, orange, yellow, red. And these bell peppers were purple. I was like, purple? Like, I've never
and
even...
It's so exciting.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
so
at least
fun.
For us, like,
yeah.
I love food and, like, the process of making. I think also, ever since becoming vegan, everything is like, oh, like, so many discoveries
mm-hmm.
around food. And I've established a different relationship with food. So I get, like, really excited to
mm-hmm.
try new things or to see new things or to look at, like, different colors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, a whole experience. I feel like you're feeding your soul even before putting the food in your mouth.
In your body,
I mean,
yeah.
In your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're, like, the whole experience of, like, going there, connecting to the people,
mm-hmm.
asking questions, looking at things that... Or, like, knowing... Getting to know things that you've never... You didn't know it. They existed or you don't know what to do with them. And like
mm-hmm.
that process of like, what am I going to do with 2 kilos of jujubes?
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, we're going to, what did you say? You're going to try and make jam or something.
Yeah. I mean, I've been eating them just like that. Mm-hmm. They were a little green, so I've been letting them ripe a little bit, but I read that you can use them pretty much like apples. Mm-hmm. They have a very, like,
apple-y, kind of apple-y texture.
Yeah, a texture, kind of like that. So you can make jam or you can make, like, pie filling. Mm-hmm. I feel like combining jujubes with cranberries and a little bit of, like, orange, like, zest could be a great jam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Jam coming soon by Mella.
By Mella. With love, by Mella.
Yeah. Yes. No, but that's so cool. Like, when you think about, you know, having the food and letting even the sights and, like, the senses be nourishment to your body, like, it is such an experience. And that way you just get to appreciate the food way before you even eat it. Mm-hmm. And so then there's so much more, like, love going into it, so much more gratitude, appreciation. And then you're bringing that energy in.
And also when it comes from a small farmer, like a farmer that you're, like, talking to, I'm pretty sure they also have a different kind of, like, respect of the land and the plants and all of that. So they put love in it. And that's where you're putting into your body. From the moment it was planted and taken care of and harvested and brought to the farmer's market, and then you go with all this joy, because it's kind of like it's a joyful place, I feel.
Yeah,
and really everyone there is like, oh, I love everyone's, I don't know why, but everyone's wearing like cool dresses too.
Everyone's in their floral, like flowy dresses, and you're like,
exactly, it's like a whole, I don't know,
it's like church. It's like this whole like ceremony.
Yeah. I was thinking, exactly, because I was thinking, I was comparing to the, like, I don't know, the horse races, which, like,
obviously,
I'm vegan, I'm against, but it's like a whole culture of, like, you dress up to go to the Kentucky Derby or whatever. It's like the same. Like, you get like, oh, I need like some comfy shoes, but like a flowy dress.
Because you know you're going to be outside walking around like your basket.
In your basket.
To take all the foods in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all of those steps are like joyful and there's like love involved. And eventually that's what you eat. So you're not only feeding your body, you're feeding your soul and your mind.
Because it's also feelings
like a mindful experience, like a mindfulness
Exactly. thing. Absolutely.
Because you're very present.
Yeah, just interacting with everything that's going on. You know what I mean? And two, like, we are what we eat. So we're not only bringing in whatever nutrients from the food, but whatever energy is carried within that, whatever joy, whatever love, you know, or same thing. Like, if you're going to wherever and you like see that the display is like all a mess and like it's just disheveled,
also eat suffering and death and pain,
or just mistreatment or injustice. Lack of care or whatever the case, you know what I mean? And the energy is transferred. Unless you, I mean, you still have the opportunity, no matter what kind of food you get, to transform it into energetically what you need it to be to sustain yourself. But yeah, it goes both ways, all the ways. You know, so it's more than just a food. It's more than just, oh, the farmer's market.
Yeah. It's more than that to us, at least.
And to us, yeah. That's true. We're just like little flurries. Yeah. Little fairies
Woodland
floating along.
Woodland Hills Farmer's
Woodland
Market.
Woodland Hills, Old Calabasas Farmer's Market.
Oh, yeah. It's an Old
Town. It is the Old Town Calabasas. Yeah.
It's so cute.
It's so cute.
Have you been to the Studio City one? The one that's like right across the street from Trader Joe's, like that little like commercial center, but then it's a Sephora now.
I've heard of it. I haven't been there.
I think it's on Saturdays too.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little like triangle.
Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Right across from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
On Ventura?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Is that good? Is it?
It's a cool one. They have a lot more. They have a lot more food, like food vendors with already made
like
food as well.
Food.
Yeah. But they also have like a couple plant vendors. So you get to see all these cool plants too.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And that's another thing too for like the fall or like just whenever. But part of the fall is like going back to like connecting to the land and to the earth and all of that. And sometimes just like bringing plants into your place can help you make that connection, because you're like interacting with them. And I talk to them. You're caring for something. So that also feeds
your soul, not only like you're not only caring for the plant, but by caring for someone, you are kind of like taking care of yourself as yeah. well, because they make you be present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you're always looking at them, you're always noticing, like, oh, like literally your one plant like literally tells you when it needs water. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're like, when it droops like this, like she needs yeah. the water, and then she perks right back up when I mm-hmm. give her water, and I know exactly when.
Yeah, I need to look at my plants every day.
Yeah.
I need to see, like, okay, how are they? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them need to be watered every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I've spoiled them halfway.
But what a good spoiling.
Yeah.
It's so worth it. They're giving us oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so cute, too.
Yes. But, I mean, the farmers markets, they're all so cool. Like, I used to work at the Hollywood farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working with No Tops Life. Yeah, that was Life. Good.
In Selma. Kind yeah. of like Selma and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, down the whole
thing. From
Vine
to Yucca.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one's cool because there's so many different people. Like, you just see celebrities,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're just in their Sunday morning, like, 7 a.m., no makeup on, no nothing, just getting what they need because mm-hmm. they live around there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you could interact with them as just with the product
mm-hmm.
or the food or whatever.
That actually happened a lot in North Hollywood. There's also... farmers market that was pretty tiny. It was not big, but what was really great was these vegan Sundays that started happening. Oh, yeah. And North Hollywood was a very, or still is, a very vegan friendly mm-hmm. place.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of also like celebrities going to vegan, like vegan celebrities mm-hmm. going to the vegan Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then I would also find them in the pop-ups because I feel like they would find a vendor there mm-hmm. at the street fair yeah. whatever yeah, and then they would like follow them so mm-hmm. that whenever they were like pop-ups during the week would go there as well mm-hmm. so I started like identifying like the vegan celebrities and there was actually one that I would see all the time at the Vegatinos
oh,
when they
yeah.
were in Burbank, like every Wednesday he was also there and I was like he's there, I love him.
It's so funny how we get geeked out
yeah.
about these things, but it's like also what a common thread,
mm-hmm.
you know, we share. And whether it's through the farmer's market, whether it's through vegan eating, whether, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, I was excited that they were vegan.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm sure they like promote
vegan life, all the things.
Movement.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see, you know, just the things that you love and the things that like inspire you. Like, people who are celebrities, or you just like stand in line with someone and you start talking to them because you know, like, we're both eating vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we have commonalities
yeah.
on some level.
Yeah.
And so, like, to start conversation, which is cool, which is like brings it back to yoga, like to huge, to union, connect. Union. It's like that's all we're doing all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, stepping out of the fear, right? Because sometimes fear can stop mm-hmm. us. But if you step back and kind of be like, no, like, we're literally all connected. We're connected through this food. We're connected through this energy. Maybe it's a practice we share. Maybe it's an art or a creative mm-hmm. outlet or whatever. You know, to be able to just bring that into conversation is cool because that's the whole yoga.
Yep.
Of it all.
The yoga of it all.
The yoga of it all.
Yeah, so, I mean... all of those, like the food and going back to the land and the earth and reconnecting, going inwards, all of those things are part of our spiritual guide for fall.
Yeah, just ways to engage with fall, ways to not just let it slip away.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, you can easily just be like, okay, I'm ready for winter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's kind of the in-between stage.
Also, days get shorter, so there's more opportunity to watch the sunrise and the sunset, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. you were telling me about the sunrise sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was doing an intuitive activation class with my Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling us that actually the morning sun, like when it is just rising, can activate your body and your skin to produce more collagen. So if you bathe your third eye or your face in the morning sun, you will be younger longer. No, I don't know about younger for longer, but just no, as but far as like producing the collagen.
Yeah.
Scientifically.
Yeah.
helping to boost that. And it's like, what? The sun can do that, but it's only the rising morning sun. Like, and once you've hit 10 a.m., yeah. you know,
obviously, you're, if you stare at the sun, you go blind, and then you also get super wrinkly because you get sun damage.
Yeah. And there's a thing, too, called sun gazing, where you can do that. A friend of mine actually tried to do it for a while, but there's certain
and
times...
And now she's blind now.
No, no, no. But you have to, like, incrementally start. So there's... It's, like, right as the sun rises and right as the sun is setting, there's a window of, like, 27 minutes that you can gaze at. You can look directly at the sun. And you just start it incrementally. So it's, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Next day, 45 seconds.
Yeah, you need to, like, next day, you need a guide or, like, someone to, like, tell you how to do it properly. Otherwise, like...
And she was saying there's so many benefits of this sun gazing thing. But, yeah, that's another thing, too. It's, like, the sun is so powerful.
Yeah. Don't try this at home.
Don't, like, yeah, don't. Do your research.
Yeah, don't
before
just
you
gaze
just,
at the
like,
sun.
Like, okay, well, Hannah Millen said I can gaze at the sun, so thank you for now my eye surgery. Please don't.
LASIK. No, yo, research. It's a thing, but, like, there's a window and there's a way to do it and there's, like, increments. Like, there's it's a process. Like, it's you learn.
Full
and,
process.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the sun is the most powerful source of energy. I mean, tangible,
obviously,
I
we
think.
Rotate around, like, the whole system.
Yeah.
Our whole planetary system.
Our lives revolve around, like,
literally.
Not, yeah.
Like, I thought my life revolved around me,
but no.
I'm only the microcosm of the macro.
Okay, so what else? You also said, like, walking barefooted.
Oh, like earthing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
it's
earthing.
It's connecting to the earth.
It's just, and actually, it was really cool the other day. So, I was teaching yoga to some teens in recovery. And they're laying down in Shavasana. And he was like, wait, I want to get some dirt in my hands to hold for Shavasana. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, kid,
you're
get it.
Getting
like,
it.
Get in the dirt. Like, so good. But yeah, it's just basically connecting with the earth.
It's grounding.
Ideally with your bare skin, but if not, like, whatever, through tennis shoes or just gazing at trees or plants or whatever. But yeah, like, interacting with nature.
Mm-hmm. And then one thing that, because you were saying, like, I was like, so, Hannah, what about people that are in an apartment and, like, they can go out? I mean, because of, like, the lockdown or because of their health or because they live in a city and they're not close to nature. Like, what can I do? What can they do? And you were like, I can walk to the street barefoot. And I pictured, like, Mexico City or New York. And I was like,
ew. Yeah, no.
Well, you know, my sister, she's a music therapist. And she said, dude, just with imagery. Like, you do the grounding with imagery. Thinking, like, setting an intention and putting these images in your head. That even if you're in a fourth floor, you can start imagining feeling roots coming out of your feet or like you feeling part of, like, connected to the earth, like,
or like a tree
things.
Trunk or like reaching through branches.
And like, start seeing everything like, oh, the tree is my cousin, and like the bird is my brother, and like things like that if they're in your reach.
Yeah, well, and too, I mean, any athlete probably knows this, but it's like that visual imagery of just, like, practicing your skill or craft or whatever, even, like, Olympians, you know what I mean? They visualize over and over and over again how they're going to perform. And, like, that is almost, like, good enough as good. Here, almost as good as actually physically practicing. So it's, like, I don't know the studies. I don't know the statistics. But it's something that's proven out there that visualization fires the same neurons and activates everything in your body that it would if you were tangibly doing it. So in that way, like, the brain wiring is still carving those neurological pathways to create and keep you within that whatever imagery is.
Like, when I spend 3 hours watching YouTube videos of, like, the balance board, the endo board, and then I'm, like, visualizing, and then when I get to it, it's easier.
Then you do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same as actually practicing it, but, like, it's...
But you kind of have a sense of what you're doing, and you've already seen yourself doing it and having success.
Yeah.
So then there's less room for error because you've already felt that success mm-hmm. and felt yourself with all the senses, mm-hmm. except maybe physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But performing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. Visualization.
I'm sure you all know, all you yogis and yoginis, most of you.
Yeah, I'm visualize sure you know. All the time.
Yeah. It's like when you're in kindergarten, they're like, okay, imagine you have a cookie and milk, mm-hmm. you know, and like, what does it taste like? What does it smell yeah. like? You know, all of those things.
And also in yoga, in dance, in singing, sometimes there are parts of your body that you don't know, like they're inside of you and you need like imagery in order for you to do the thing. Like in dancing and yoga too, like imagine there's this cord coming from the top of your mm-hmm. head and you're like, someone's lifting pulling you ceiling, up yeah. and your spine is aligned and blah, 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 blah. And singing is the same as like thing, like there's a waterfall or like whatever it is to like send the air properly to where it needs to be to for it to resonate. Like that imagery helps you understand what you can't see because you cannot look inside your body and see what your body yeah. parts are doing sometimes.
Yeah.
Or you don't know the muscles or how they work and where mm-hmm. they attach. But if there's an image behind it, you can achieve that. So mm-hmm. all of those things make that connection to nature, even if you're not close to it mm-hmm. or you can't see it, like, from your window.
Right. And the thing, too, is even if you have access to internet and you literally pull up a picture, you know what I mean? Because some people do have a hard time visualizing with a visual sense, mm-hmm. like in their mind. So it's like, okay, then find a picture mm-hmm. or trace it back to a memory that you can recall. You know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be like something magical and creative and like, oh, that's too hard or that's intimidating. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if that seems too far away, you know, Google a tree and just admire.
I'm getting sleepy. You know what I mean? I don't know why.
You're like, okay, you're putting me in a meditation right now. I want a tree gaze right now. You're like, okay, your voice is trancing me into meditation.
And you know what meditation. I've been doing too? I have this swing. This yes. like little hammock for one that I got. Yeah. But it's really a sensory, what's it called? When you're floating and you're like.
Oh yeah, like sensory deprivation?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I close my eyes and I'm just there. And sometimes I just open them and I look at the trees and the plants and the flowers. People pass by, but I try like not to be on my phone.
Yeah.
And it's so soothing
mm-hmm.
to just be like, it's like floating.
It's like Mother Earth is just cradling you.
Yeah. And it kind of rocks too. Yeah. So it's like so soothing. So I've been, every time I'm like, okay, at least for like 20 minutes, it's like restorative yoga.
Yeah, I feel. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm like, I'm there, like, because it's small, I'm like in lotus, yeah. my legs, and then kind of like inclined. Like restorative Supta Baddha Konasana,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, it's so good. I love it. I swing recommend me. It 100%.
I'll swing myself.
Get a swing. And if it's inside your house, it can become like a sexual swing. So, I mean.
There's pros.
Two birds.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
5 stars. Swinging. This podcast recommends it.
Highly recommend it. Highly absolutely.
Recommend. I'm absolutely. Ella and I approve this message. And then what was another thing? I mean, start to get more like into the warmer.
Oh, yeah.
Do like soup, mm-hmm. teas.
Yeah, soups and chilies and teas and, you know, just things that are going to be more soothing just for the body and the soul and the spirit.
We cannot be serious ever. Like, when?
What are you talking about? I'm so serious.
Bruh.
No, but for real.
Another one. Letting go. That's a great practice.
Just letting go. And I mean, that seems, that can seem challenging.
It can seem easy. And also can seem challenging. But it's both.
It's all. There's duality here in the world.
There's duality. Definitely. Yeah, it's something I always try to practice. Somehow behind. No, I feel like it's not easy for me to let go, just in general.
I mean, I think, though, that is very normal for a lot of people. Like, it's we're not taught to mm-hmm. let go. Mm-hmm. We're taught to, like, if hold we have this things. Balloon, we're this is my balloon, and I'm going to keep it until all of the helium evaporates, and then it just falls to the ground and dies.
And then it's still
and
mine.
And then it's trash. And then it's still mine. Yeah, and I'm going to play with it until I'm done with mm-hmm. it. But it's, like, not that I'm endorsing letting balloons go, but you know what I mean? That we're not ever using taught.
Balloons in general.
Well, oh, yeah. Like, this is the first thing that came to my head.
No, I know. I'm judging your example, I think, is great. But I mean, fuck balloons now that I'm.
For real.
But for real, don't buy this.
We're no waste here. We're zero waste.
Don't buy that shit. We don't endorse that.
But you know what I mean? It's always such a tragedy, it seems. Like, if the balloon escapes or somehow, and you just watch it float up and away, and it's like, no, my balloon! Mom! Give me another one! Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not taught to be like, okay, watch it float away. Like, you let it go. It's a natural consequence. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not... We can't hold and covet things forever because the one constant is change.
I learned that in my late 30s. Well, early 30s and, like, throughout my 30s. I'm like, fuck. I'm still trying to accept that.
So are a lot of people, especially in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the pandemic was a great way for me to actually practice that and be like, okay, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go with the flow.
Roll
for
with
the
it.
First time in my life, I'm just going to trust that I'm going to be fine and I'll just roll with
see
it.
See what happens.
I'm a pull a Hannah. Just going to flow.
Just floating on right along. Just okay.
Yeah, I can control anything, but neither, like, no can one anyone else. No one else can. So, like, I feel like that released me from that need to be, like, in the top, you know, like, oh, I need to be the best or whatever. But that was like, oh, the bar is like subterranean right now.
Yeah, and you're like,
so many people
literally
can't
no one.
Do shit. Yeah. Like, there's like a good excuse to.
Yeah, you're like, so, okay.
And then I fucking started like thriving during the pandemic. Like, who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? I did so
many. A whole new world.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare. Or do.
But like, for real.
Yeah. But I mean, and that too goes back to, like, if we want to bring in counseling theories, like attachment styles.
Are these Elizabeths? No, that's the grief.
Elizabeth.
Attachment. To the stages tell us of grief. About these attachments.
Well, I haven't researched it in a long time, but I'm going back to grad school, so I'll for sure learn it again.
So we can have a whole, like,
but let's talk about it next time about attachment styles. Because there's, like, avoidant attachment and anxious attachment. And then there's, like, healthy attachment. You know what I mean? So if you have a hard time letting things go, there's probably an attachment style there that you're working against. You know what I mean? So it's good to be aware of your attachment style, which came from when you were being brought up as a small infant. So this is when these attachment styles are formed.
Like, it could be a transfer from your parents, too. Mm-hmm. If they were, like, anxious or attached.
Yeah. Let's see if I can look it up really quick.
Real quick, guys. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you a few jokes. I'm kidding.
I brought my juggling balls.
So, if you're only listening, go to YouTube and watch me juggle. And also, you can watch Hannah's hair today. She's rocking it. Rocking the do. Rocking the waves.
Crimped, yo. Okay. Here's what it says. Modern attachments.
Attachment.
Bowlby. Let's see. Who are you, Bowlby?
Bobby Brown.
Bowlby.
That's really not a man.
John Bowlby.
Who is that? Not an Elizabeth.
He's a man, but I also saw this lady named Mary, so I don't know where. Oh, there's more research by Mary Ainsworth.
Did she let go of her lamb?
Okay, I don't know.
But, well, letting go, practicing gratitude is another one.
Yeah.
Very, especially now that we're entering November.
Mm-hmm.
The practice of gratitude. It reminds of it. Okay.
Always. Okay, real quick, attachment styles. So there's secure attachment, which is confident, non-reactive, resilient, reciprocal. Then there's anxious, preoccupied attachment, which is emotional hunger, fantasy bond, lack of nurturing, or turbulence.
Mm-hmm. That's my attachments, for sure.
Then there's dismissive or avoidant attachment, which is isolation, ambiguity, ambivalence, emotionally distant.
What is that?
So it's basically like if you were neglected as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You're...
But how does it look, that attachment?
Like... So it looks like I don't care.
Oh, okay, okay. You're attached to being...
You're not attached. You're not attached to anything, but it's not like what we seek in non-attachment in yoga. Mm-hmm. It's different. It's like literally no one can provide for me. I can't trust anyone, so I'm not going to depend on anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask
for
help.
You're just dissociated. You're disconnected.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, emotionally distant. You will not open up. You will not open your heart. Mm-hmm. You will not share emotions or express them.
Mm.
Or isolate. Like, you tend to isolate.
So it's like the unhealthy way of being unattached.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
It's like that skill probably would come easier if you're just able to tap into the emotional aspect, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This is my guess. And then the last one is fearful avoidant attachment. So it's very, has a lot of internal conflict, dramatic, unpredictable, and also ambivalence. So fearful avoidant is making like rash decisions quickly. Mm-hmm. Everything's fear. So you're jumpy, you're on edge, you're kind of like... always looking which way to go and
decide,
make a new decision, make a new, like, always moving, acting out of fear.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. So that's a brief. I mean,
yeah,
I
but we can get this. Into
we can talk about it more later at some point.
Oh, there's something in my hair. What is this? What is
it? Fuzzy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It was lint. I was crawling under a couch.
Dude, I always have fuzzies in my hair.
Fuzzies, is that how you
fuzzies.
Call it?
Fuzzies. Yeah. Mom, I got a mom.
Fuzzy.
The dust bunnies.
The dust bunnies. Yeah, that's a thing here. Dust bunnies. So cute. We just call them pelusa.
Oh.
Pelusa.
Pelusa.
Yeah. Or lint, but usually if we say lint,
it's pelusa.
Lint, we usually say either in your belly button or lint from the dryer.
Or the vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
is
yeah.
that lint too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so. I just call it dust.
Just call it that thing in the vacuum.
Okay, so what else? I'm trying to visualize the little drawing that we made for the spiritualism account.
Dude, you're out of control today. Who knew? Journaling for sure, always.
Journaling, yeah,
because
you said that
is really a way to just
connect
with your...
And actually being grateful, but
yeah.
in the form of
journaling gratitude.
What you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm. 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 That, or just to connect with your inner self, your inner voice, right? It's because sometimes we don't necessarily know what... our inner voice is saying until we like give ourselves space to write it down.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's like people's outlet for just having emotion or being authentic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's a good start, is to just dive into that. Just write it down.
Yeah. You are a fan of the journaling.
I have journals for everything, man.
I used to be when I was a teen. And then I don't know why all of a sudden I was just like, probably like so self-conscious that I started reading everything and I just got rid of everything and I didn't want to write ever. I don't know. I used to write a lot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Restorative yoga. That's another one that we added there. So yeah.
Restorative yoga is awesome.
It's amazing. It's like...
different from yin.
Different from yin. But I mean, look it up. I'm sure you can find like YouTube videos about it, and you can find some like props in your house, like
all the props,
just
pillows,
like pillows,
couch cushions.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, if you do this at least 20 minutes a day, like if you do a pose for 20 minutes, it's like you get a good sleep for like 2 hours. I think that's the equivalent. Like you really rest and you're not asleep. You could fall asleep as a result of it, but it's more like a meditative state. And you'll feel it. It's just something like the
swing. Just there's just something that clicks, and then you're like, I don't need to move. I don't need to do anything but just like be here. And I'm like, I'm doing great. And like that really restores
the body. Because sometimes even when we sleep, we're not getting restorative sleep because whatever anxiety we're still carrying, whatever thoughts are still running through our head, whatever way we're like curled up and tangled and tossing and turning in our beds, like sometimes sleep isn't even restorative. So being able to get into a practice where you find stillness in your and body.
Intentionally.
Yes.
You set that intention of
being still.
Being restored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Embrace huggy. Like get comfortable, get comfy, find your spot,
get cozy socks, get cozy.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
warm tea. Whatever corner of the couch you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like for me it's more like not even as warm, but like being barefoot is for me is like being like barefooted.
I like just soft texture.
Uh-huh.
So like whatever blanket is like super soft. I'm like, yes.
Like your mats? Like your...
The rugs?
The rugs.
Oh, yeah. I'll sit on the ground and just pet those.
Yeah.
Like, I love this.
Breathe. Inhale. Exhale. Just focusing on your breath.
Oh, and actually, I want to add to that. So if anyone has ever practiced alternate nostril breathing, or it's called Nadi Shodhana. Yeah, so basically what you do is you take your right thumb, you put it on the outside of your right nostril, your middle finger and your pointer finger, you can put on your third eye or you can tuck it in to your palm, and then your ring finger and pinky finger go on the outside of your left nostril. And then you alternate plugging each nostril. So you'll inhale through the left, plug the left, and exhale through the right, and then inhale through the right, and plug the right, and exhale through the left. And that's one round. But the idea is to balance both sides of the brain, both sides of the body, and bringing the whole body into balance, which especially during this time of fall, as we're going inward, it's sometimes nice to, when we do feel like that vata and that air and wind coming in, it can be ungrounding. And so for us to come back to balance, especially doing this while you're earthing, would be prime, right?
¿Cómo? Prime.
But yeah, so just balancing both sides of the body, both sides of the brain, balancing masculine and feminine, balancing lunar and solar energy.
Emotionally, intellectual.
Yes,
whatever,
absolutely.
Whatever duality.
Calming and energetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great breathing as well as just taking deep, full, intentional breath.
Yeah. And you could do like rounds of like inhale in six, hold it for six, exhale in six, and then start progressively making it longer. Okay, good. And do we have another one? We've covered letting go, eating seasonal produce, drinking tea, and nurturing and warm foods. Tree gaze, restorative yoga, inhale, exhale, embrace, hug it, watch the sunset, walk barefooted. And one that we haven't mentioned is consistent eating and sleeping routine.
Oh yeah.
That just helps for every season,
for everything.
Just to like
re-bring the body back to whatever shift and changes. If you stay on a routine, it helps the body just adjust.
With the flexibility also.
Yes,
as
exactly.
A yogi, it's like, don't get fixed. Don't get in a, like in
rigid.
A rut or in a rigid mindset where it's like, if I don't poop at 7 a.m., I get frustrated or whatever. Like,
well, if you do, guys. Maybe let's talk about that. Tell me more.
Yeah, and if you do, please call Hannah. She loved to hear that. But that's it. I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, all the things.
Or like plenty of things that we can be mindful of now with the arrival of the autumn.
The autumn season. Autumn.
The season.
Fall. Okay, we're getting weird in here.
Okay, so let's just... Thanks,
cut it
guys,
at that.
For listening to our nonsense one more time.
Yes, yogis and yoginis, we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And we hope you hear us next time, too. And if you like it, please keep liking us.
Keep listening. Let us know. Contact us if you want to talk. If you try any of these things out, please let us know, because we are only two people who have trying these things. And
yeah.
you know, we love different experiences to hear about that because not everything works for everyone. And so that's helpful to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Well, right. See you next week.
See ya.
Namaste.
Bye. Bye. Oh, yeah. Namaste. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Intersectional Yoginis podcast.
If you liked this episode, please rate and share. If you didn't like it,
please don't go rating.
You can find us on Instagram at
The Intersectional Yoginis.
Namaste.
Namaste.